studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we will be listening to a wonderful talk by Dr. Srikant Sola, Additional Senior Consultant Cardiologist at the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Bangalore. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall in Prashanthi Nilayam during the Navaratri celebrations of 2013. And in this interactive talk, Dr. Sola begins by talking about sadhana. You know, all of us Sai devotees are mesmerized by this word sadhana. We all have so many questions like what sadhana should we do, how much sadhana should we do, are we doing enough sadhana, etc. And after talking about sadhana and what he has learned from Bhagwan's lotus feet, he then goes on to talk about what it means to love all and serve all. Again, something that he has learned directly from our beloved Bhagwan himself during the course of an interview. And during this talk, he also answers many questions from the audience members. And all of this makes this a talk that should not be missed by any serious spiritual aspirant. So stay tuned, dear listeners, and at the end of the talk, you all will be treated to some soul-stirring bhajans from the album series Bhavanjali. So over to Dr. Srikant Sola.
My humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagavan, beloved embodiments of the divine Atma, my loving sidearms to you all. Come close so that we can have a discussion. This is not going to be the usual type of talk. It will rather be a discussion. It will be where we share, where we can learn from each other. I will learn from you and we will learn together. So come close, all of you. It's okay. Good. Better. Make sure you're comfortable. Make sure you're under a fan if you like. Want to be comfortable. Okay? So it's a pleasure to be here on this auspicious and holy Navratri occasion. So much auspiciousness, so much festivity, and so much happiness during these 9 days. The amount of punya or merit we must be earning is tremendous. Unlike some of the other speakers who will be speaking during these 9 days, I will not be sharing much of the leelas and the mahimas, the stories and the glories of the Lord with you. And I won't be sharing many of the technical discussions that, or philosophical discussions that some others will discuss with you. What I will rather share is about how is your sadhana doing? How is your sadhana? What are you doing in your sadhana? How can we improve our sadhana? Now, I'll give you a small story. I won't tell you too many stories, but I'll tell you one. Once I was with Swami on the veranda, and we were speaking together. In those days, I had just come to join his hospital in 2008. I'm a cardiologist at the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. And I moved here from the U.S. 5 years ago. I work in Swami's Whitefield Hospital. And I had very quickly learned how to behave around Swami. You know, there's a certain protocol or a certain code of behavior. You shouldn't come too close. You should not come too far. You should not lean on Swami. You should not fall on Swami or one of these guys in the back will scold you. You know, you should behave pakka in a proper manner. But when you're with Swami interview room, you can do whatever you want. He doesn't mind. He lets you pull his robe. You can pull his hair. You can fall on him, whatever. So one time on the veranda, I was discussing something with Swami. And I was very appropriate. I was like this. I was the correct distance. I wasn't too close or too far. Swami could hear me. I was just as it should be. And then suddenly, I still to this day, I don't know what happened, but I fell. And I fell into Swami's lap. And Swami was so happy. It was as if a mother had, as a small child, me, had just come into his mother's lap. It was just like that. He was so happy. And I was terrified because I was thinking about the people standing behind Swami and what are they going to do. But Swami was happy and nobody said anything. And it was like that for some time. Just in the lap of the Lord, that divine fragrance, that divine softness, that divine sweetness that only the divine mother has. So this is what I want to talk to you about. You see, it was sadhana that brought me to the feet of the Lord. But it was divine grace that brought me into her lap, into the mother's lap. So this is what we're going to talk about. When we talk about sadhana, we can go up to the Lord's feet. But when we talk about grace, it's grace that brings us into the mother's lap. So what we're going to do is this is going to be an interactive session. And I'm just going to call on volunteers, and I'm going to ask you just a few simple questions about your sadhana. There won't be any condemnation or any ridiculing. You don't have to worry about that. But more just a question and answer to see how is your sadhana. And in that discussion, whatever points need to be brought up will come about naturally. So we'll do one from the gent side and one from the lady side, and we'll go back and forth. And do we have mics for the speakers? I think some mics are coming. So when the mics come, just speak slowly and clearly and keep the mic close enough so that others can hear you also. Okay. So who would like to go first? Maybe while we're waiting for the mic, we'll take somebody from the lady side, someone in the front. Who would like to go first? Yes. Madam, how is your sadhana going?
I came into farming for the in 99. Actually, in 97.
Okay, so she came into Swami's fold in 97.
And I came here in 99.
Okay.
I came to Puttaparthi first time in 99. So I had an interview on...
Yes, so how is your sadhana going? Don't tell me all the Mahabharata. Tell me, how is your sadhana going?
Sadhana means that I'm doing...
Keep it close to your
I'm
mouth.
I'm doing
yes.
fine. But I...
What sadhana are you doing?
Just praying and doing whatever Swami wants, doing, being good to the people, being nice in my daily life, being respectful to the elders.
Okay.
That's what I think is my sadhana, being nice to everybody.
Okay.
I don't know if you call it sadhana or something else.
Okay. So let's just go over a few points here. So when we talk about being nice to others, this is something that I see in many Sai devotees. We look at Swami's teachings, right? Swami once said the essence of spiritual... So once a group of the Hyderabad boys, you know those group of young adults from Hyderabad, they came and they asked Swami, Swami, give us the essence of spirituality. And Swami said the essence of spirituality is to love all and serve all. Now they were a bit disappointed. They had heard that like 1,000 times. They wanted a bit more from Swami. So Swami smiled and he said, you see, in order to love all, you have to love yourself. And in order to love yourself, you have to feel that you are pure. And when you feel that you are pure, you will automatically love yourself. When I see many Sai devotees practice this love all, so their understanding of love all is to be nice to other people. Right? See, in the hospital, we talk about loving all in private hospitals, not Swami's hospitals. And the joke that I say is people in corporate hospitals, they will be nice to you as long as you are paying the bill. Once the bill is no longer paid, they will shunt you out. In the Sai fold, we tend to take love all as being nice to other people. Maybe we don't shout at them. Maybe we don't talk badly about them, at least not in front of them. So, Swami's definition of love all is very different. In fact, once Swami was with two long-time devotees, this was in the 1970s, he took both of their hands in his, one husband and wife, one on each side, and he said, I'm now going to tell you something you must never forget. He said, in the end, when the body has turned to dust and everything is gone, what will matter is not how much money you had in the bank, or what type of car you drove, or how big of a house you had. What will matter is how much love you have shared with all of creation in every single moment of your life. Then Swami took his hand like this, and he said, the rest, byproduct. So when we talk about love all, it doesn't mean just being nice. You understand? Does that make sense? It means loving all of creation, all of the time. This is love all. This is love all. Let's take a moment to practice this together, because simply listening to me is useless. It is a waste of your time. Unless you practice at least one thing from this talk, you will benefit. Otherwise, coming here, you will just have passed 1 hour. Let's practice together. Let's all sit up straight and close our eyes. And let's imagine that Swami is standing before you in whatever way or aspect of Swami you adore. Let's see that your own divine Swami, your own personal Swami, is there before you. If you prefer to see Swami in your heart, that's also fine. Just breathe in this love from Swami into yourself. And as you breathe out, let go of any troubles or anxieties. Let go of any stress or worries that you may be holding on to. Let go. Again, breathe in deeply, breathing in Swami's love into you. And let go of any tension, any resistance, any hurt, any confusion. Let go of it all. Give it all to Swami. Keep breathing in His love and keep letting go of any discomfort, any pain, any illness of any type. Just let go. And now let's imagine that you have become like the Divine Mother. You have become like the Divine Mother's Sai. And take a look around you and just love this entire room as if everyone in this room was your own beloved child. Start now, because if you cannot do this, it will be difficult to continue on. Start loving everyone in this room as if they were your own small child. You are the mother and they're your own small, precious baby. And expand that love to include everyone in the ashram. And expand that love further, including the whole country. Loving them all as if they're your own precious child. Not just the people, but all beings. And extend that love until you cover the entire world, as if everything in the earth was your own precious baby. And then expand that love to cover the entire solar system, the star, the planets, the moons. And expand that love further to cover this galaxy, countless billions of stars in this galaxy, each with their own innumerable planets. And there are a countless number of beings, just like you, all your own precious children. Extend that love further, expanding it until you cover the entire universe. And the entire universe is your own precious creation, your own child. And expand that love further until you cover not only this universe, but all of the universes which were created by you. You look around and see that your creation is endless, but it's your precious child, and it's so small, it could fit into the palm of your hand. Now from this vast creation, which is by itself so small and so precious, come back to yourself and love yourself. See that you are pure, you are absolutely brilliant, you are absolutely flawless. You are divine as on the day as you were created. Give yourself all the love that you so richly deserve. Give thanks to Swami, and let's gradually come back. You see, this is loving all. This is what loving all is like. You can practice this, you should practice this. Because as Swami said, the only thing that matters is not being nice to other people. It is loving all of creation in every single moment of your life. The rest is byproduct. The rest is byproduct. In fact, Swami said once in another interview, he said, love alone exists. Love alone exists. He said, the reflection of love is divinity. So that's all it is. It's just that love. And the more you contemplate on this love, the more you'll understand it. So loving all is, again, going beyond being nice. It's loving everyone, everything, all the time. The whole creation. This is true love. This is the type of love that we have to have. Once, during an interview with Swami, in those days I would have the chance to sit very close to Swami as he would come on the veranda, and we would watch him and interact with him quite frequently and so forth. And I always would see how he was so loving to each and every person he spoke with, how he would interact with that person as if they were the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. It was wonderful to watch. So once during an interview I asked Swami, I said, Swami, We watch the way that you love, and yet sometimes we're not able to. Immediately, Swami replied. It was a family interview. He said to my wife, he said, because sometimes you are afraid. At that time, I had the habit of confirming whatever Swami said to us because I wanted to make sure I understood him properly. So I said, because we are afraid, Swami. And Swami did like this. And then he turned to me. I was sitting here at this side. And he said, and because sometimes you forget. So we should love, that is loving all, but we're not able to, either because we are afraid or we forget. Now, the people sitting on this side of the room are probably much better at loving than the people sitting on this side of the room. So let's go to the next person. Do we have the mic from this side? So who would want to tell me, why would we be afraid to love? Yes, sir, please. And keep the mic close and speak slowly, please.
Yeah, so my sadhana is going on very well. I'm very happy. It includes serving my parents.
Mm-hmm. But let me just ask you a question.
Right.
Why would you be afraid to love?
Sometimes the expectations, there is a mismatch.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the main reasons I think we are afraid to love. People are not as we expect them to be.
Right.
So that causes friction and that becomes a hurdle to love.
So in other words, our love
sometimes
is not conditional.
Yeah.
I will love you only as long as you do or say what I want you to do. Right? That's what we all do, correct? That is not loving all. That is not unconditional love. So we are afraid. What else would make you afraid to love? So one is expectations. It's not unconditional love. It's conditioned love.
Right.
What else?
The second thing is we feel lower than others. I mean, in terms of either status or achievements or whatever,
right?
We feel lesser than others.
That's very
that
good.
Is one of
That's
the
very
things.
Good. I'm glad you said that. What would make you lower than somebody else?
It's about comparison,
mm-hmm.
Right? It depends on what is my metrics compared to what others' metrics and the society's metrics, right?
Okay.
So in that comparison, sometimes people may get lost. And then we feel we may not be able
right.
to love them equally.
Now, when
equal
we
basis.
Did this exercise just now, where I asked you to love all of creation, all the beings in creation, as if it was your own small, precious child, how was the comparison then? What happened to the metrics then?
I think those metrics were not valid at that time.
They disappear, right?
They disappear,
right. And so this is what we learned to do. We would watch Swami love, and we also found that, yes, we are afraid. Sometimes we're afraid because we might get hurt, right? Sometimes we're afraid because a person may not return that love to us. Sometimes we're afraid because it may seem out of place. If I'm at my work, and I'm at a meeting, and my boss is here, and suddenly I'm appearing loving instead of appearing strong, then it may look like I'm a sissy, or it may look the wrong way. Right? So sometimes we get afraid because of that. But when we love everyone as if they were our own small, precious child, turn them into a 2-year-old kid and see what happens. You won't be afraid to love anymore. In fact, the quality of that love will expand tremendously. So we are afraid because we are not able to love because we're afraid and we forget. Now, what makes you forget to love?
Moving away from what we are, basically. That's what I think. We think we are body. I think I am body, mind, intellect, you know. So it's about limiting my original nature. So from that point, I start forgetting sometimes.
So we forget. Yes.
Right.
How about the gentleman next to you? What would make you afraid or what would make you forget to love?
For me, it's how many things there are to love. Like in the example that you gave, I didn't feel as if I was personally giving love as if I do when I'm here. So when I'm here and I go give someone food or something, I also give them my love personally. But there's so many people, so many things, it's tough for me to give them my true love if I'm not with them or if they're not in front of me.
Okay.
So it's tough for me to imagine myself giving love to someone that's so far away or I don't know, as opposed to someone sitting next to me.
I see. That's a good point. So we forget. We forget because we don't see them. They're not in our scope or in our field of vision. This love is everything. There's nothing outside of love. And when you learn to love and love yourself completely and then love everything else completely, that is enough. Swami said, love all beings, that is enough. But then this forgetting, this being afraid is a tough one, isn't it? What in my practice, I will practice love. I make it a game. I play a game with Swami. So I constantly try to give love. I only have actually only two sadhanas. One is to love all, and the other is to be nothing. That's the only two sadhanas I have. I'll talk about being nothing later, but that's it. That covers everything for me. So in this loving all, what I will do is I will go out through the ashram. I will go out through Bangalore. I will go into Bangalore traffic. I will go to the railway station, the bus stand. I will go into the slums. I will go into the dirtiest parts of the city, and I will love all. I will not resist anything, because what happens when you resist? Can you, on someone on the lady's side, Trisha, what happens when you, Aarti, what happens, where's the rest? What happens when you resist?
Whatever you resist persists.
Whatever you resist persists. That is true. It will keep on coming back to you until you learn to love it. Swami once said that every relationship that you have, every interaction that you have has to be ended in love. Otherwise, you will go through that same interaction again and again and again until you learn to end it in love. So you learn to end that relation or that interaction in love. Doesn't mean that you have to go to that person and put your arms around them and say, I love you so much. No, that's not the point. But you have to learn to end that interaction in love, even if they're mean or cruel to you. See, when we resist, are we happy? No. The moment you resist, you will suffer. That is an inescapable law. There's a few laws in this creation, right? This is a reflective universe. Whatever you send out gets reflected back to you. The moment you resist anything, you will suffer. It's an inescapable law. So in this loving all, just part of loving all is not being afraid to love and not forgetting to love, but also not resisting love. When we resist a situation, let's say the electricity has gone off. Why? Because there's an Andhra Pradesh band, so the electricity has gone off. If we resist that, let's say we resist the temperature in the room, then we are instantly unhappy. If we instead learn to embrace everything that is before us, to play the game, as Swami played the game and showed us so well, then that resistance goes. And when we're no longer resisting, then we can love fully and completely. Does that make sense? So, no? So, are you resisting the temperature now? Can you give her the mic? Would you mind see if it goes that far back so we can all hear?
I'm coming since 25 years to India, and I'm a little bit astonished about the teaching. What you just mentioned also is, I feel a sort of laissez-faire, you say in French. You know, the streets are not cleaned. Oh, I go through the street. I love the rubbish. I love the people. I love it all. You see, that's for me not possible. I have a responsibility also to the divine. I love God. God is everything. So I know that there's a certain spiritual teaching which says, even if somebody dies next to you and the body starts smelling, you just close your eyes and you bear it. That is a high sadhana perhaps, and it leads you somewhere. But you see, what I notice in India is, first of all, also the continuous accusation of the West. All the bad we have here is the West, coming from the West. That is the first thing. The second is that the people, I live it also in my vicinity. Oh, let it be. What shall we do? What shall we do? What to do? They say, what to do? You see, I think we have also responsibility as a human being on the level where we are. We might love God extremely, but we, on our human level, that is the mystery. We should not make it lower. We have a responsibility to watch and see, is it done? We need to live in a cleanliness, in an orderliness, and also the political turmoil now. Oh, they're destroying all the furniture and
so stop there.
The
people. Stop there.
You see,
there stop there
the
for just a minute.
The responsibility of the human being. That's what I want to say.
That's a good point. I'm glad you raised that. But you have to understand that everything that we see in this creation is reflection, reaction, resound. It doesn't mean that we sit still doing nothing. In fact, loving all, when you love all, you will expend your entire being in serving all. It happens spontaneously. You don't have to think, today is Sunday, I'm going to the Sai Samiti, therefore I will do my service activities. Not like that. You will constantly serve, and you will engage yourself in the service, and you will expend yourself in constantly serving society quietly, without making a fuss, without making any noise. You will just go on serving, go on giving, giving, giving. But remember that everything is reflection, reaction, resound. No, no. Everything is reflection, reaction, and resound. And so whatever we see outside of us is our own reflection. If we see that our political system is in turmoil, it is a reflection of what is happening in society at large. You see, the leadership of any country is simply a reflection of the mass consciousness of the people who are governed. The pollution that we see in the streets are simply a reflection of our own inner pollution. Swami once said, the cleanliness of the home is simply a reflection of the purity of the people who live there. The cleanliness of the home is simply a reflection of the purity of the people who live there. Everything is reflection, reaction, and resound. So when we go to a particular situation that we may not like, when we resist something that we may not like, at that moment we need to look inside of ourselves and say, what is it in me that is being reflected back to me through this situation? You see, it has nothing to do with anything outside of you. Nothing at all to do with anything outside of you or anyone outside of you. Every relationship, every interaction, every person, every being that you meet is simply your own reflection. This is a universal law. Swami once said, actually, he said, this is his exact words, he said, actually, there is no creation. There is only projection. It is simply what you have projected out that you are seeing reflected back to you. So if you're going out and you're seeing this and you're troubled by this, what is it in you that is being reflected back to you? Now sometimes I tell you, I don't know. I don't know. I go out to the railway station, I see that it's filthy, and I agree with you. But what is it in me that is being reflected back to me? The answer is to work on yourself. If I can, I will serve. I will put my hands, my feet, and my resources to improve the situation. And I do that constantly, quietly. But this is a reflective universe. So going back to the question, what is it that you're afraid of? Why are you afraid to love? Why are you forgetting to love? Yes, sister.
Actually, my father-in-law, he's a kidney patient. He's on dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a host of many diseases like heart blocks. And now he's HIV positive also. So how to serve him without risking our lives? Like, I actually see Swami in him and I try to serve him also. But he is very rude and he's against wearing gloves. He doesn't like that we wear gloves while serving him.
Right.
So how to serve him?
See, every person that we meet, every interaction that we have, as I said, it has to be ended in love, or else we'll go back into that interaction again and again until we learn to end it in love. When we come to somebody, let's say that the sister who spoke earlier, there's only two possibilities. Either there's something in me that caused her to speak like that. Okay, so there's something in me that is being reflected back to me. And so there's something that I need to work on. Or the possibility is that creation is giving me an opportunity to reflect unconditional love back to that person. There's only two choices. Reflection, reaction, resound. So in your relationship with your father, either your father is reflecting something back to you, or creation is giving you the opportunity to reflect unconditional love back to him. Okay, that's it. So sometimes these relationships are very difficult. You have to go inside and ask Swami what you can do and how you can behave, how you can speak, how you can feel, and how you can fill this relationship with love. It depends on the particular situation and the details of the situation. But it has to be based in love. Right? It has to be based in love. So to the gent side, who wants to go next? How is your sadhana? Who would like to go next? You wanted to speak earlier, right? So we'll give you another chance. How was your sadhana? Go ahead.
I'm extremely happy that my sadhana is going at an accelerated pace. Okay? So I got a good opportunity to spend quality time with my parents. And
what sadhana are you doing?
Yeah, that's what I feel as sadhana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, serving my aged parents and serving the society as part of the Sai organization and my own adhyayanam, like studies and introspection and contemplation. So that's what I think I'm able to take it forward to.
Contemplation meaning what do you do?
Observing myself, okay, my thoughts and how I am improving. Right, what are my deficiencies and how I am working on them.
Okay. Okay.
Right. So, incremental progress towards the perfection.
So, progressing towards perfection.
Right.
Now, what if you were to believe... See, many of us, we have this belief that I am here and I have to work to go here. Okay? That's a common situation. And so what happens is we see people who we believe are there and then we automatically put them on a pedestal. Right? It happens. We in the Sai organization have a very bad habit of putting other people on pedestals. Happens automatically. Whether it's a speaker or somebody who's close to Swami, whatever, immediately we put them on a pedestal saying, oh, you know. So what are you trying to work towards?
It's primarily understanding my own nature.
Which is what?
Which is mentioned in scriptures as Sachidananda Swarupa.
Uh-huh. But you have heard that. You've not yet experienced it.
No.
No. Okay. So, just one small thing. When I talk to people, I'm not at all concerned about what you read or what you've heard. Only interested in what you have experienced directly. So you've not yet had that experience, which is okay, but it is your true nature. And in fact, we could put all of spirituality together in just a few simple statements. It would go something like this. You are not the body. You are not the mind. You are not your ego or memories. You are not the country that you came from. You are not a male or a female. You are none of these things. What you are, what you can only be, and what you have always been, is God. You are that Satchitananda. You are the Supreme Absolute. You are the Parabrahman. You are God having a dream experience in a dream body, in a dream creation. And that is the truth. When you wake up from that dream, you will know that you are that self. And as the moment you wake up, what happens when you wake up from a dream?
We forget the false identities, whatever
right.
happened.
And you say, oh, that was just a dream.
Right.
You know immediately that it was
right.
not real.
Correct.
And so also, when you wake up from this dream, you will know immediately that all of this is not real. So you may see things that disturb you. You may still be sitting there very angry, yet not able to love. Even though the speaker is asking you to love, and you're still not going to look at him, you have to open your heart to love. Love is all that exists. Love is a whole creation. we come to Swami, we feel His love, we're so blissful when we're in that love, and then we go outside and we see chaos all around us. And this happens in every country, in every city of the world. It's everywhere, right? It's natural. Yesterday, I was taking care of a patient. We had done an operation on him at Swami's hospital. We'd done a very high, very complex operation. And what I found was that this patient, he needs a certain type of medication to be taken. And that medication has to be strictly monitored. We had put in an artificial heart valve into him. A big operation, and he has to go to his doctor at home, get a certain blood test done, and then that medication has to be very strictly monitored. Now, this gentleman, he lives near the border of Nepal. There's nothing there. The quality of the doctors that are available are so pitiful, and I felt so bad. 3 years back, we had operated 5 years ago. He had come for his follow-up visit. 3 years back, this gentleman had a stroke as a complication of his not being able to monitor his blood test. So what you're saying, you see, on the one hand, this is just a dream. But on the other hand, as long as we're dreaming, we have to play the game, right? We have to play the game. It means that we have to love, we have to serve, we have to help each and every one within the resources that are available to us. And so I extended the resources that I had available to me to help this one particular gentleman so that he would not have another stroke, so that his medications would be able to be controlled properly. So within the Maya game, you do what you can. You do the best that you can. You serve continuously as best as you can. I constantly remember how when we were with Swami, whatever we did for Swami, and even today it's the same thing, it continues. Whatever we did, whether it was a new project or a new activity, we would do it just to make Swami happy. Right? Those of you who've been here for a while, you know that. Whatever you did, whatever project, whatever activity, whatever seva, your only aim and goal was to please Swami. And if Swami smiled and was happy, that was enough. And so when we're talking about extending our love into service, to me that is the goal, is to serve in such a way that Swami is pleased with what we're doing. And that should be the same. So if you're serving your parents, or if you are serving your father, you should do that in such a way that Swami would be pleased with the service that you're rendering. That is what we, that is how we can and still go. Now, there's a couple more points that I want to bring up, but I want to give a few others a chance to speak. So let's go to the ladies' side. Who wants to go next? Yes, madam, here. Can you take the mic to the back?
Developing our spirituality, becoming who we are, realizing our divinity, or beginning from knowing we're divine till realizing it, along with what the lady was saying, the paradox, the humanness, our behavior in the Maya. What is sadhana then? That sort of seems to me, it's spiritual and it's worldly. Could you please comment?
Thank you. Very good question. So what is sadhana? Sadhana is defined as our spiritual practice, but it doesn't mean that it is just meditation, chanting the divine name, serving, being nice, loving all. That is okay. That is part of sadhana. Sadhana means that you spiritualize every single action of yours. Every single act becomes spiritualized, whether it is preparing a birthday gift and buying a birthday gift for a loved one or friend, or meeting your neighbors about some community project you have. Everything in that sense becomes your sadhana. So it is the common feeling is that I have this spiritual part of me, and then I have this worldly part of me. I have this spiritual part of me and I have this worldly part of me. But that is not correct. Everything is the self. Everything is Swami. Everything is God. And this sadhana is helping you to realize that. Not on an intellectual level, but by actually experiencing it. This is sadhana. So initially what we do is we do so many different types of sadhanas in an attempt to experience the truth, to realize the truth. So we meditate, we pray, we do pujas, we do japa, namasmarana, repetition of the divine name. We go and do service. We read spiritual books and we have satsang or fellowship with spiritual minded people like we're having right now. These are all good. This is part of our sadhana, but the real sadhana is going inside to find out who you really are, to find out what you really are. The real sadhana is looking inside of yourself and seeing where are the remnants of anger, pride, lust, greed, jealousy, and hatred. That is real sadhana. Many times in my cardiology practice, I will pretend to get angry at people. Not because I'm angry, but because there's a certain lesson that has to be imparted, as you saw earlier, right? It's just pretend. So even in that pretending, in that playing the game, you're still doing sadhana. Once a great sage asked Swami, he said, "Swami, how long should we continue our sadhana?" Now, this person who asked the question had reached such a high level of attainment. Swami says that there are very few people who have reached your level of consciousness. I can count on the fingers of one hand. So such a person asked Swami this question, "How long should we do our sadhana?" And you know what Swami said? He said, "As long as you are breathing, you must continue your sadhana. As long as you are breathing, you must continue your sadhana." Many of us, we come to Puttaparthi, we come to Prashanthinilayam, we want to feel close to God, we do feel that closeness, but then we go back to our homes, back to our communities, wherever they are, and we lose that connection, right? We feel farther away. Others of us come here and we realize that we were already close to Swami before because we were feeling that inner connection. What happens is that you're looking at sadhana based on your external circumstances. That should never be the situation. Sadhana should continue just as your breathing always continues. Sadhana should adjust, yes, you should adjust your sadhana to your external situation, but sadhana must be non-stop. There are a couple of other things to keep in mind. The sadhana also is impacted by the place that you are in. How many of you feel that when you are here in Puttaparthi, it's much easier to meditate or to become quiet or become closer to Swami? How many of you feel that? Yeah, most of us will feel that, and compared to, say, back home. So I live in the city of Bangalore, and I live on Swami's campus. So we have an apartment, we have a nice big garden, some of you have seen it, and Swami has himself walked in that garden when the campus was being built for the hospital. You know, it's very easy to do our sadhana there. But then when we go out into the city, the vibrations are different, and so it's much harder there. And when I speak to people, how many of you are from big cities? Mumbai, Delhi, New York, London, big places like that. Any big city, raise your hands. So the rest of you are all from villages, I guess, or somewhere in between. No, but for those of you who are from cities, what is it like? So you're from a city? How is it, who is from a city in this? Yes, ma'am. How is it doing your sadhana in the city? Sometimes with it, noise, pollution, a lot of disturbances. Someone keeps ringing the bell. Okay.
Physical discomfort.
Yes. So there's a lot of disturbances that impinge on your sadhana. So you have to understand this. When you're in Puttaparthi, it's much easier to progress in your sadhana. When you go outside Puttaparthi, when you're outside Prashanthinilayam, it takes more effort. When I look at my friends who live in the big cities, I tell them, "Are you should, if I meditate for 2 hours a day, you should be meditating for 4 hours a day." Because it's that much harder. Concentration is much harder. You came from the U.S. When I go back to the U.S., I find the vibrations of one country are different from the other. It's not better or worse, it's just different. It's a different flavor. And so I have to adjust my sadhana based on where I am. I make it more intense. It's here, if I go and sit in the mandir, it's so simple. I mean, you can just connect to Swami just like that. It's no problem. But when you're going traveling, when you're outside, it's more challenging. So your sadhana has to be adjusted. It has to be intensified depending on where you are. So going back to your question, madam, that sadhana has to adjust. Just as we adjust our breathing to the pace of our work, when we're sitting still, our breathing may be slow. When we're running, our breathing will be very fast. And so also, when you're in situations which are not perfect, and we're often in that way, then we need to adjust our sadhana. We need to intensify our sadhana. How many of you in this room, when you're at home, not here in Prashanthinilayam, but when you're at home, how many of you are meditating more than 1 hour a day? Okay. as usual, ladies beat the men hands down. Okay. All right. Good. Very good. Very good. Now, this meditation, this going into silence through meditation is very important. I see many Sai devotees who still have not yet learned to silence the mind. They still allow the mind to go on chattering nonstop. And in fact, even when you're listening to me, still your mind is chattering in the background. Correct? Right? Because you've not yet learned to silence the mind. This silencing of the mind is very, very important. Making the mind quiet will allow you to tune in to the inner Swami. Unless the mind is still, how can you tune into Him? See, if I'm talking to you, and you're talking to me, and we're both talking at the same time, how will we hear the other person? We have to become quiet. And part of this sadhana is learning to silence the mind. It's only when the mind is silenced that you'll be able to tune into the inner Swami. Otherwise, the outer noises, the city, your thoughts, the monkey mind, will take over, and very quickly you'll be lost. So spend time every day in meditation. Spend time every day in contemplation. Contemplate on the truth. Contemplate on the reality. But you were telling me before that you contemplate on your reality, right? But you're still leaving it at the level of the mind. You've not gone deeper than that. And so this is what I see many devotees doing, is that they keep their sadhana at the level of the mind. They keep their understanding at the level of the mind. Let's say that I talk to you about loving all. It stops there. You understand that I should love all of creation all the time in every single second moment of my life, but it stops there. It just becomes a mental understanding. There's no experience to actually back it up. So go beyond mental understanding. Go beyond this mere monkey mind level of working your or doing your sadhana, and go much deeper. How many of you get distracted by during your sadhana? Almost everyone? Okay, so let's hear from the gent side. Who has the mic? You want to pass it to someone? What are the distractions that you face? Who wants to answer this question? The distractions that you face in your sadhana.
I don't know how to say. If I sit for the meditation, like the mind goes, travels around my office works, my colleagues, what's the next weekend plan and all. So it's not fixed. I wasn't able to do my sadhana. I've totally changed the definition accordingly, and because I'm unable to meditate or do this one. So I've thought one word, called constant integrated awareness of Swami. So whatever I do, any work, all the time, I just remember Swami. I think this itself is a sadhana for me. I want to get a confirmation, do what I'm thinking is the right way of approach, or I'm doing something wrong. So whatever I do, even I'm taking a bath, if I'm doing, I'm going, traveling to office, I'm doing my work over there. So always I think of Swami, that's it. But I don't say Sai Ram, I'll remember of Swami every second, that's it. I think this itself is good, I'm doing the best I can do. So I don't know whether this is correct or wrong. I just wanted to get some clarification from you, sir.
It is a good start. It is a good start. But you have to continue to progress, right? Swami says expansion is life, contraction is death. So you should continue to expand your awareness. When Swami was asked, she was asked by one of the Vrindavan ladies, who the Sevadals, long-time Sevadals in Vrindavan campus, and she asked him, Swami, we do so much puja, we do so much seva for you, so many things we're doing, Swami, but how do we know that we're progressing in our sadhana? This is the question, same question you're asking in different words. And Swami's response was, well, look at how many people in your circle you loved last year. How many people did you expand your love to? And now do the same thing. How many people do you love? How intensely do you love them? So both quantity and quality. So look at these two things to see if you are progressing. Are you progressing in terms of how much you love others? Right? Not being nice, but are you progressing in loving them? Are you really able to embrace the good and the bad of everything? It doesn't mean that you sit still, as she pointed out very well, but are you able to embrace the good and the bad? Are you able to really love without being afraid, without forgetting? That is what matters. There are probably, let's say, 100, 150 people in this room. There are probably some many thousands in Prashanthi Nilayam. There are probably some 7 billion, I think, on this planet. There's 7 billion types of sadhana. There are that many types of sadhana. It's not that one sadhana is a one-size-fits-all. So your particular sadhana may be okay for you, but the question is, are you expanding in your love? Are you expanding in your relationships? Are you still like this?
That, I don't know, but I don't expect, like Swami says, if just you give on giving the love, I don't expect anything from anyone. The moment you start expecting, then you feel bad about it if something doesn't happen on your way, what you are expecting. So I never expect anything from anyone, but I start giving love for them.
Okay.
And that's it.
Good.
I try my level best to do that.
That's so I'll give you a challenge. Try to love the people that you meet for as long as you can do this. Try to love them so intensely that you forget yourself. There's no longer a you. Okay, what's your name?
My name is Sai.
Sai. How appropriate. So try to love them so completely, so intensely, that there's no longer a Sai. We say everything is Sai, but in this case, let's say there is no more Sai. Okay? There's no more you. It's just love. Okay? I'll give you that homework to do and see how it changes your practice. There should no longer be a you. This is the best type of love, where you're completely loving and there's no longer anything here. This reminds me of another point that I want to mention. Swami often says that God is the only hero and the rest are all zeros. So who would, can somebody explain what that means? Gents will do this, yeah? Yes, sir. So can you give sir the mic, please?
Ego undone, job well done.
Ego undone.
Job well done, that's what Baba really taught us.
Yes, ego well undone, job well done.
Ego undone, job well done.
Yes, yes. Here, you know, the job well done part is very important.
No, all is grace. I can tell you, everything is grace. This grace, our efforts and grace. Combination of our efforts, sadhana and his kripa. A combination of this gives you excellent results. Where you find you become really, you know, an atom compared to the compared to Himalaya, at the same time, essence is same. The essence is same. Upadhis may be different. The essence is same. That's what I have.
Yes, that is a very good description. Thank you. Very good description. So this ego undone, becoming zero, my understanding is becoming zero is becoming nothing. Becoming nothing. So there's no longer a Srikant Sola. There's no longer anyone speaking. It's just Swami speaking. It's just Swami acting, Swami feeling, it's Swami doing. We become so finely attuned to the Lord, we become so finely with the Lord, one with the Lord, that we become like that Lord. I'll tell you, some of you have met my seniors, some of you have met Dr. Dash and Dr. Bhattava, some of the senior doctors I work with. When you're with them, it's like that. It's like you're with Swami. They're so finely attuned to Swami that to be with them is like being with Swami themselves. No ego. They don't think anything. They just, it just comes to them, whatever needs to come. And this is, I've learned from them just to be like that. So there's no longer any ego. There's no longer any sense of self to making this Srikant Sola form name become nothing. Becoming zero. So when we say God is the only hero and the rest are all zeros, it really means that we have become nothing. And in that nothingness, we become everything. We become absolute love. Our every word, our every thought, our every deed, our every emotion becomes an expression, a manifestation of the divine. It may not be possible to do it all the time, at least not in the beginning, but you can try. And you know what? If you forget, it's okay. Don't beat yourself up. If you forget, it's all right. I forget all the time. We all do. It's all right. Don't beat yourself up if you forget. But keep continuing. Keep trying. Becoming zero. Becoming nothing. Once we are with Swami, and Swami started to lean forward like this, and he said, "Come here. I want to tell you a secret." Wow, Swami is going to tell us a secret. We're so excited. Maybe some fabulous secret of the creation of the universe and so forth. So Swami leaned forward. We also leaned forward like this. We were just like this. And then Swami took his hand like this and he said, "Actually, there is nothing. Nothing really exists." And then he leaned back. And we were stunned into silence. actually there is nothing. Nothing really exists. That nothing, which is beyond description, beyond name and form, beyond any type of characteristics, that is what you really are. That is the truth, and that you have to experience. I cannot describe it any more than that, because you have to have that direct experience of the self. So when you leave here today, be determined to experience the truth completely. And then you will wake up from this dream and realize that it was all unreal. It was all just perfect. Just perfect. Once one of our mentors was asking similar questions to what was being asked before. She was saying, Swami, why is there so much hatred in the world? So much violence, so much anger. Why is there so much pollution? Why, Swami? Swami just looked at her, completely deadpan, completely serious. He said, why? What? It doesn't exist. You have been dreaming this whole time. You've been dreaming that you've been listening to me for the last 55 minutes. You are the self. You are God. You are that Sai. Swami has come here as your reflection to remind you of what you are. That is the truth. You are absolute beauty, love and peace. But you are much more than that. Because the moment we put words on it, we start to limit it. We put so many beliefs on it. And what happens is once you experience the truth, once you know what you are and you have that direct experience, all these beliefs, all these ideas, all these concepts, they all fall away. All gone. They mean nothing. All ideas, all beliefs, all concepts fall away because you know the truth, that you are the Supreme Self. You are the Paramatman and there is nothing else. That's it. There's no mind, there's no ego, there's no zero, there's no nothing. So go today with this conviction that you are God, that you are the Self. Teach your children this truth. This is what we do with our children and others' children. We still tell them the truth. You know who you are? You are God. Why are you here? You've come to love all and serve all. What do you do when you're done playing here? You go back to being God again. This is the truth of why we're here. We're just here to play, and we're here to love. So remember that and go home today. Go into your meditation. Go into the Samadhi Hall, into the Saikulwant Hall. And ask Swami, Swami, Dr. Srikant spoke about these things. He says that we are nothing. He says that we are the Absolute Self. Show me. Show me. Ask Swami. Make him show you. Make him show you the truth. And he will. And then you will have that direct experience. And when you have that experience, everything else will fall away. Any last questions just on what we've spoken about? Just on this last topic.
Everything is very nicely put by you, really. We are all grateful to you for excellent real way of sadhana to actually ultimate end, you know, that's good. But still as a human being, each one will have some attachment to the body to keep it healthily. You see, as long as he lives, you know, to love and serve people. Is that desire also bad?
It is not a question of desire so much as a question of function. I have to put petrol in my car to make it run. I have to wash it and keep it clean, right? I have to make sure I change the oil and keep the tires inflated at the proper pressure. It's part of the game. And if I want to love all and serve all, I need a healthy body. This goes back again to being practical. Spirituality is great, but you still have to be practical. But in that sadhana, part of your sadhana is not sitting for 12 hours a day in meditation. Sadhana is serving, is doing the things that need to be done. If you are newly married, let's see, some young fellow here. Sai, are you married? Oh. You want to get married? Okay, so let's say you get married. Now you have to think of health insurance, life insurance. All of these things that come along, you have to have a home. You probably live in, if you're a single fellow, you probably live in some very simple apartment. I mean, you know how it is, bachelor's life, bachelorette's life, very simple, right? And then suddenly you have all these things to buy. You have to buy a proper sofa. You probably don't even have proper kitchenware in your house, right? See? So part of the spiritual life, part of the game, part of the sadhana is excelling in everything. So we excel in our worldly activities as well as our spiritual activities. So when it comes to sadhana, don't think that taking care of your spouse or your family or your children or planning for your retirement or excelling in career is somehow worldly. It's not. It is part of your sadhana. It's part of the game. But see that also as God, and see that game as being part of God. It's just a game. That's all. Any last questions? Yes, sir. How to be like a flute so that we can be on the lip of the Lord. Is that the question? Yes, sir. So I can tell my practice, so that's all I can really speak on, is once Swami kept us in Puttaparthi for about 4 weeks, he wouldn't let us go. We had come for a hospital function, and as usual, we asked Swami permission to go back to Bangalore. He said no. So we thought, well, maybe he wants us to go tomorrow. So next morning, I asked him, we were going to leave right after darshan, and he said, no, stay for a while. So I told my boss, and he said, okay, and this continued and continued and continued, and we stayed for 4 weeks. In that 4 weeks, Swami would speak to us frequently, but more importantly, he would give us all these small lessons about how to be. And what we learned is that it's not so much about doing as much as it is about being. And in that beingness, when we completely empty ourselves, then we become like that flute. When we become nothing, when we become zero, then we become like that. So earlier I told you that my two spiritual practices, one is to love all and the other is to be nothing. So for me, to be nothing means to have no thoughts, to not even have the impression of a thought, to not even allow this dream world to make an impression in that awareness of the self. That means becoming nothing. And in that, whatever needs to be done happens automatically. I don't have to think about it. It just happens. Just as this heart is beating and it happens continuously by itself, so also all the activities that need to happen, happen automatically by becoming nothing, by becoming zero. So with that, I thank you all. Thank you for putting up with me this last 1 hour. More important than listening to me is that you go and actually practice. So take one thing from today. I would encourage you, if I've said something that you don't understand, then go to Swami today. You can do so during the darshan or whenever is comfortable for you. And just say, Swami, this is what was said today. I don't understand. Swami, please show me. And then just wait and see what happens. Just ask Swami to show me. Swami, Dr. Sola said that I am the complete God Self and there's nothing else. What does that mean? Ask Swami, show me. Jai Sai Ram.
Chitram Vadataror Mule Vrittaha Sishya Guru.
कृपानिधि मनोहरा
कृपानिधि
शंकरा अभयंकरा
जलाओ सत्य साई दीप जलाओ जलाओ साई प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ
प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ साई प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ जीवन ज्योति तुम हो साई
कृपा करो